Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. Is this broadcast beneficial to you? Is it informative? Has it helped you make a determination as to how you need to vote? How are you going to vote? What are we going to do? Should we retain President Trump for the next 4 years? I think so. I think to do otherwise would be an egregious sin in America, because I believe God divinely intervened in November of 2016 and placed President Donald J. Trump in office. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. You're talking about the Democratic Party. It says, in an era of skyrocketing violent crime, the Minneapolis City Council recently pledged not to merely defund, but to entirely dismantle its city's police department, while over a dozen other cities in the U.S. have promised to defund theirs. Meanwhile, a Democratic official demonized America's police as racist bullies and persecute innocent citizens for defending themselves against violent mobs. They're also freeing thousands of criminals from prisons, ending cash bail so offenders can get back in the streets immediately after they've been arrested to offend again, and encouraging violent revolutionary mobs to rob, loot, burn American cities night after night, and then they blame it all on President Trump. Can you imagine? And that's exactly what we've seen when I'm talking about weaponizing the coronavirus. And they've allowed the mobs to get out of the street without a mask, the mobs in the street not socially distancing, the mobs in the street burning the buildings, vandalizing buildings, murdering people. Ladies and gentlemen, even to the point now where we see the BLM mobs, which are being encouraged and the hands held up and partially funded by, other than George Soros, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden campaign funds going into the coffers to help them as they're being bailed out. If they're arrested at night, they're bailed out the next morning. And yet we're to believe that somehow, some way, that's the party that we need to put in charge of the morals and the ethics and the values and the future of America? I think not. This article says, the Democratic Party, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, have abandoned their former safe, legal, and rare mantra regarding abortion and now insist a beautiful, full-term human baby just about to be born is not really a person at all and therefore can be slaughtered at will even after he or she is born, as long as the mother and the doctor agree. End quote. Further, the article states Democrats agree that there are more than 100 different genders, not just the two that existed from the dawn of humankind on Earth until sometimes last year, and insist that men can get pregnant, have babies, and that the taxpayers must pay for the pregnant men's abortions, even if they don't agree with the extreme delusion. You're an anti-science bigot, this article says. Got it? These are people who believe there's much more intellect and morals. They have much more intellect and moral than you have, who in just a few weeks will fully intend to take over the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a petrifying, frightening thought to me. I don't know about you. Perhaps you feel that Joe Biden and some of those street interviewers, the media that's out on the street interviewing some of the street people, saying, what has Joe Biden done? Well, I'm going to vote for Joe. Why are you voting for Joe? Well, he smiles a lot. Well, he seems to be a good man. He wants to bring us together, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me one thing Joe Biden has done to help the United States of America in 50 years, almost 50 years that he's been in office. I am appalled by the thought. This article further states, if the Democrats win, that's the end of democracy. It's the end of the two-party system. We're going to have a one-party government that is going to devote itself to eliminating any and all opposition. That's what is at stake. If they win, if the Republican Party essentially ceases to exist, we will have no two-party system if the Democrats win in 26 days. Ladies and gentlemen, they have taken COVID-19 and weaponized it, even to the point where you're viewed as a no-masker. If you're a no-masker, for example, you're in violation of the law. And we've got snitches today that set up. It's the brown shirt scenario that was in place in the 30s and up through the mid-40s through the Hitler administration in Germany. And it's the brown shirt snitch situation, that if you don't obey every whim and wish of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic, Communist Party mayors and governors that want you to stay locked down, want you to stay in your mouth shut, want to close the churches and want to destroy businesses, ladies and gentlemen, they have gotten to the point now where the mask is the indicator, the proof positive indicator, that you are simply willing to be sheeple and not people and go along with the ploy and the plan and the plot to control all of America. Here's an article that says New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio imposes a $1,000 fine for not wearing a mask in public. He also threatened private schools with closure if they don't follow the rules. We have to take more action at this point and more serious action, and we'll be escalating with each and every day depending on what we see happening on the ground. Steps announced Tuesday include fines up to $1,000 for people who refuse to wear a mask in these neighborhoods. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a mask now that you're going to have to wear if you're not socially distanced. It's not just wearing a mask if you cannot stay separated from others. It's not just a mask that you wear inside in close confines. It's a mask now that must be worn on a daily basis inside your house, outside your home, on the beach, in your car, wherever you go. And that's the mindset now that the socialist, Marxist, BLM Democrats have. And Joe Biden has already said, ladies and gentlemen, if he's elected, he will have a federal mask mandate. I had waited with bated breath last evening to see if that would come up in the Pence-Harris debate. It didn't. By the way, these things are just a charade anyway. They're not truly debates. A debate is where you simply have a timekeeper and a referee where you keep each of them, the two of them separated, and let them go at it, challenging each other, asking questions, and placing the facts out before the general public to watch. And then when time's out, you say time's out, debate's over. That's a debate. What we have now in the modern era is not a debate at all. It's not something that I was ever understood and ever understood in school and studying what you would call debate, what a debate's like. But we have this today, and now where they're wanting to have a debate between President Trump and Sleepy Joe or Basement Joe, and want to do it by electronically, by online, by computer, I find it absolutely antithetical to what a debate is all about. This article says, if the person refuses the mask, then the city will issue the fine of $1,000. De Blasio also threatened private schools with closure if they don't follow rules such as mask use and maintaining at least 6 foot distance between the individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm appalled to see those driving down the highways, windows up, latex gloves on, and a gigantic mask on, and driving down the street as though the COVID's going to jump in the vents in the car and get them. I'm amazed watching some of the media out on the streets doing interviews, and it's outside. They are separated from everybody. Wonderful breeze blowing, and they put the gigantic mask on. It's become a symbol of submission for the human beings in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, not only the mask wearing requirement now that's found in just about every state across America, but we watch the governors, the mayors, that they've exercised their illegal, unconstitutional, unenforceable orders closing businesses and churches across America. I find it antithetical with anything that's called freedom in America today. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is what we see taking place, which is the precursor of what we will find on a full load, if you will, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris goes into office to lead America. Here's an article that says, the state instructs diners, put your mask on between bites. Yeah, you heard me right. Governor Gavin Newsom in California just issued an additional executive order, issued guidelines of how to wear a mask while eating. Says guidelines from the Office of Governor, California Governor, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom advises putting on a mask between each bite while dining out at a restaurant. If public policy is based on the science regarding wearing masks to slow the spread of COVID-19, California Governor Gavin Newsom is making it harder for the residents of his beleaguered state to figure exactly what the science really is. He says, going out to eat with a member of your household this weekend, don't forget to keep your mask on in between bites. Do your part to keep those around you healthy, says the tweet from the governor's office. It's titled COVID-19 Diner Tip Number 1. Minimize the number of times you take your mask off even while eating, and between bites, put your mask back on, is the governor's orders out of California. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but in this bailout bill that Nancy Pelosi was wanting to put through, that I'm thankful that President Trump said, no, we've just ceased to desist any further negotiation. It was going to include bailout money for states like California, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for those states that have squandered federal tax dollars, and in squandering those dollars want to replenish the till, and they're blaming it on COVID-19. And President Trump has simply said, no, we're not going to bite the bait, and we're not going to allow the taxpayers' dollars to be spent that way. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What do you think about how we need to vote? How are you going to vote? What is the great need today in America in relationship to the direction that our nation is going in? Do we need to have Joe Biden in office, or we need to maintain President Donald J. Trump? Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most egregious things that I've seen take place in America recently has been taking place most of this year, and that's the reason I'm so passionate about making sure that we put President Trump back in office, is because if we don't, we're going to lose our rights. Our Bill of Rights will be absolutely eviscerated, totally emasculated, and gone. We'll have no Bill of Rights if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris go into office. Ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the precursor to the ultimate control by government, the ultimate control of our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a movement. This movement has brought about major persecution and prosecution and open hostility for God's churches. Yet the Biden-Harris Marxist agenda stands with the BLM thugs that burn businesses, rob stores, vandalize American citizens, and even deface and burn churches. And somehow, some way, there's the mindset that it's okay. In fact, yes, they are horrific in their what they have been doing in relationship to the burning of buildings and destroying of businesses and costing some $2 billion just in Minneapolis alone in relationship to the burned buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that Michelle Obama now has come back out of the woodworks. Michelle Obama says Trump's criticism of overwhelmingly peaceful protest is racist. Establishment media has been trying to convince Americans that the protests have not cost many American lives, and damages estimated into the billions that are mostly peaceful demonstrations. Michelle Obama has released a video in which she claims that the right is the right side, that's the Republicans, are whipping up violence and intimidation and blaming it on the, listen now, she's saying the conservatives, the Republicans, are whipping up violence and intimidation and blaming it on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. She states, they're stroking fears about black and brown Americans, lying about the minorities, and will destroy the suburbs, whipping up violence and intimidation, and they're pinning it all on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. It's true, she said. Research backs it up. Only a tiny fraction of demonstrations have had any violence in them at all. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the damage for rioting triggered in the death of George Floyd estimated about $2 billion in Minneapolis alone. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question and comments, please.
Yes. First off, I'd like to say how sad I am that these are our only choices for president. I really wish we had a more godly man in past history, not just recent, all of a sudden history for voting purposes. He does not, either of them, promote godly values on a stereotypical moral character, and that saddens me as an American and a mother of girls.
Let me ask you a brief question while you have gotten to that point. You say that he's done nothing for morals and ethics. He has been the most pro-life president that we've had in the history of America. He's been the most pro-religious liberties president we've had in the United States of America. He's done more for the church in the protection of our liberties than any other president's done. He's done more for the preservation of peace and safety and our presence in the protection of Israel than any other president in the United States of America. So I don't understand just what you're meaning.
Well, I guess what I think I'm getting at is all the things that are going on right now are going on while he is the president. How is he going to change those things by continuing to be the president? All the churches are closed. He is the president.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. The Department of Justice has sent out memos to just about every state governor and mayor across America, saying that the Constitution does not allow for any caveat for the closing of the churches just because of a pandemic. But yet we have what's called states' rights and federalism. Under such, the states have that responsibility, not the president. If the president were to go in right now with troops, he could stop it in 45 minutes. The state governors in these blue states where all of this is taking place will not allow the intrusion of states, of federal troops to go in and do anything to quell the riots that's taking place. So what is he to do? Go in and override state rights?
Agreed on that. So now what is he going to do? How is he going to make change if he can't do those things? We don't have a one-man president society. We have a bunch of people telling people what they will and will not do in our country. They're not listening or abiding by a presidential rule. They're abiding by their own specific one-way order all over the world and all over our country. So
that is well stated, and that's one of the problems that we need to recognize that's coming out of the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party. It's the Joe Biden and the Kamala Harris mindset that's, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer mindset that says that President Trump is bad, we're not going to listen to him, simply because he's come in and he is trying to clean the sewer, not the swamp, and because when he took office just in the State Department, there was over 4,300 embeds that were there, so also in the Department of Justice, and that's the reason we can't get anything done is because the embeds that he didn't have, doesn't have the authority federally to go in and fire all of them and start over. So therein lies the major problem, but you're exactly right. And what we need to do is recognize when we vote for President Trump that we're voting for liberty, we're voting for our Bill of Rights, we're voting for the right to keep and bear arms, we're voting to protect the unborn in the mother's womb, we're voting to keep the church doors open, we're voting for religious liberty. That's what we're voting for. We're not voting for the man. We're voting for a Supreme Court that's going to listen to the Constitution and not go outside of it. But
I
really appreciate
if that was pointed out more often, he would have more people swaying to his side. Instead, we're focusing on him as a man, and we need to stop doing that because he is only a man. And he is not
exactly right, but he is God's chosen vessel. You go back and look at all of the kings, I believe it's 19 kings of Israel, go back and look at them and find out they were flawed human beings, but look at how God used them in so many cases, especially King David. And he was a murderer. He was a one that was an adulterer, and yet look how God used him. And I'm not advocating those moral declensions, but I am saying that God can take one that is right before God and what he's wanting to do constitutionally, morally, ethically, and biblically, and use him. And that's what I see God has been doing with President Trump. I believe we have some other callers on the line. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight and for your input. May we have another caller, please? We lost our caller. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our countdown to destiny. We've got 25 days to make the decision as to the type of America we're going to have. I want to just talk a little further about our previous caller, and I'm thankful for the insight and the wisdom that was put forth and for the position that was taken. I don't think that she was saying that she is against President Trump, but saying that we need to have a person that's more godly. But when we vote for a president, we're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for a human being, a flawed human being, to lead our nation. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question and comment, please. Hello?
Our last caller, hopefully you can hear me, the last caller kind of shows what the Democratic Party is engaged in, and they would like to, through voter suppression, Christian voter suppression, reduce the turnout. Between now and the election, every single, things like the Hollywood Access tapes or Access Hollywood tapes, those things will come back to light. Every allegation that's ever been made against Trump dealing on with morality issues will come back to light. The left will not discuss any of the accomplishments of trust nor of Trump, nor will they address the obstruction and the assault on Trump for the past 4 years. They will bring up moral issue after moral issue after moral issue of his personal past life. They will also use a language like Biden used the other day dealing with restoring or saving or something, the soul of America. I'm going, these people that talk about the soul of America now, they're the most anti-Christian bigots on the face of the planet. They will stand against any a Christian that's going to be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. They will assault a man and allege with Kavanaugh. You saw the greatest assault I believe we've seen in a generation. I mean, it was close to that which they did, or probably surpassed that which they did to Clarence Thomas. The way they assault people, however, they will always claim some moral high ground, which they do not have. In this last piece of legislation on the COVID-19. What they consider a stimulus thing. We had Pelosi putting in stimulus payments for illegal aliens, the removal of voter ID requirements across the United States nationwide, and the bailouts for the, you just mentioned, the bailouts for the Democratic-run states and cities. Larry Kudlow brought out this morning, it would even include, if Pelosi got her way, the dismantling of the Hyde Amendment, which prevents those federal tax dollars from going directly to abortion payments. In any case, the absurdity of all of this, and you're the last caller kind of pointed this out based on her concerns. They want to get Christians to stay home. Here, this is the most potential election in U.S. history, and you have Christians that will stay home because they do not have the information. No, they don't realize that we have 435 members of Congress dominated by leftist, liberal, Nancy Pelosi, AOC Democrats, and it's very difficult to get things done when poison pill after poison pill after poison pill goes into every single piece of legislation. They need to look at the accomplishments, though, of Donald Trump and the positive things he's done for the Constitution and for Christians. And if you do that, if you look at the list of things, the policies and the platform of the parties, you will quickly, as a Christian, go, you know what? I have no other choice. I must get out.
Amen.
And I must.
Greg, hold just 1 minute. Maybe we have another caller we'll take real quickly, and we'll come back together. Go ahead and call the question and call, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis, how are you?
Brother Davis, God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. On to what the last brother was saying right there. Let's not forget now, they are recruiting individuals to help them, like LeBron James, in the paying of the fines of convicted felons in order to buy a vote. Now, what I looked at when I saw Kamala Harris last night on the debate was a person with not only a bent mind, Dr. Youngblood, but a radically bent mind. That's a perfect snapshot of the type of administration that will be running this country if we are not careful. So we need to ask every Christian a question. Is that the kind of administration that you want to be in control of the destiny, not only of your life, but your children's and your grandchildren's life? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good insight and comments. Greg, how do you respond to that statement from Brother Davis?
Brother Davis nailed firmly on the head. We see, as across the United States, these liberal, leftist, Democrats, socialist bastions, these cities that have been set on fire, The rioting, the looting, the arson that takes place is off the charts, and you have staffers for Harris and staffers for Biden. It wasn't just your LeBron James types out there. You have individuals in the political circles working with Biden and Harris that are contributing funds to bail these people out of jail so they can continue to go and commit their offenses. The absurdity
not only contributing funds, but Greg, out in Harris County, Texas, the one that's the chairman of the Biden campaign out there has just been caught with his fingers in the jar, if you please, with ballot harvesting and with trying to tilt the election for Joe Biden. They've already caught him, charged him. Don't know what the end result will be. Probably will drop the charges after the election. I don't know. But it's the candidates themselves that's trying to tilt the scales in their favor by breaking the law. In fact, a major van load of Trump ballots that had been mailed out are ballots being sent out by President Trump's campaign to try to get people to vote. A whole van load of them has been found. In fact, the Justice Department just foils the attempt to try to destroy the election in that fashion. Let me see if I can find the article here. I had it a moment ago, but it's the Biden voters are the one that's trying to steal the election. We need to understand one of the things that Joe Biden has said. Also, Greg, here's an article says, Biden threatens religious freedom, suggests Christians with certain traditional values are, listen, dregs, D-R-E-G-S, dregs of society. Biden has said that his vow is, number one, to make Roe versus Wade the law of the land. He's wanting to have legislation introduced that will pass a law that says that Roe versus Wade is codified in law and not just something that is done by the Supreme Court so that it cannot be overturned in the Supreme Court. So, and yet for a Christian to think about, we're going to vote for Joe Biden administration. Greg, when I cast a ballot for President Trump, I'm voting for religious liberties. I'm voting for the right to keep and bear arms. I'm voting for life in the womb of the mother rather than murder. Tell us about some of those issues that we need to look at from a Christian perspective in this election.
Interestingly, Kamala Harris, meaning herself and former Solicitor General for the state of California, she forewarns us with words like, you know, my legacy in California, how did she use the language she used? Something like, what I've done in California, we'll do across the United States.
Yes.
You can go back to the debate and hear those. When you hear those words come out of her, come across her lips, you go, my goodness, that is a scary thing. But the reality is, as an attorney, she's used to the inside of the courtroom. And as she last evening on the debate stage lied about things like the fracking, she said, you know, we will abstain in fracking, even though we have her on video and we have Biden on video to their audience professing that they will put an end to not only fracking, but all carbon-based fuels. And you go, hold on a second here. Every attorney would love the opportunity in the courtroom on the witness stand that they know is lying, and they would show the video of that person lying and profess or beg this question, were you lying then? Or are you lying now? And last evening, I would have loved to have heard Mike Pence, you know, actually say that to her, because she was lying then or she's lying now. And I'm trying to manipulate the vote.
Yes. One of the things, too, Greg, that our listeners need to understand, we've got about 40 seconds to go. But Christians, beware. Here's an article. Biden declares his number one priority will be the anti-Christian LGBTQ Act. And that simply means he'll put the sodomites in control, and it will allow the churches to be forced closed, persecuted, and prosecuted. Greg, we've got about 30 seconds to close our broadcast out, challenging our listeners to vote and vote aright.
Believers, if you want to have a voice in what's taking place in D.C., you have no choice but to get out and vote. We should seek the well-being of the community we've been placed in. Jeremiah 29:7 spells that out. We've been placed here for a short period of time. Be salt and light. Be an impact on your culture. Share the Lord, but be salt and light even in the political square. Get out and vote.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Study 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.